The year was 1984, and he was the third pick in the NBA draft, chosen behind two centers, because at that time, centers were the most important position in the entire NBA. He was became a five-time MVP. He had six championship rings, two Olympic gold medals, and no player has had the impact on basketball like Michael Jordan. His slashing to the hoop, his ball handling skills, his scorer's mentality. But not just that, his defense, his ability to set picks for his teammates, his ability to pass the ball so well. He was so good that the NBA decided to change the rules. Because he'd become so popular, they changed the whole rules of the game to benefit his style of play. They stopped allowing defensive players to touch the offensive players when they're out on the three-point line and on the perimeter of the court. They also began the 3-second rule, which means the big guys, the centers, can no longer stand in the middle of the lane and just sit there waiting for players like Michael Jordan to come in with the ball. These rules and his personality meant that Gatorade was happy to run a commercial where everybody just wanted to be like Mike. Like Mike, if I could be like Mike. He was the most popular athlete in the world for a long time. And on April 16th, 2003, when he retired for just the third time in his career, everybody was wondering who the next Michael Jordan might be. And so when unknown players, or relatively unknown players like Tracy McGrady and Jerry Stackhouse and Harold Miner and Grant Hill came into the league, it was said of each of them, will he be the next Michael Jordan? That mantra followed on through Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, wondering each year whether or not these men would be the reincarnation of MJ himself. That is kind of like the situation in which we find John the Baptist when we stumble across him. You see, the people are there. The people come to John the Baptist looking for something, looking for someone, looking for someone who might change their situation, who might help them get out of the situation they feel stuck in. This Roman occupation, this just living day to day, hoping for something more. And so they ask him when they get there, who are you? Hopeful that he would provide the answer to their needs. Three specific images come into view. First, the Messiah, the king, a leader for the people of Israel, who would lead them back to the promise and hope that the nation once had for itself. This was all seated in that promise that somebody from David's line would always be on the throne. That promise was central in their minds when they came to ask that question, who are you? The second is Elijah, who, if you don't know, the story goes, was carried off on a chariot of fire. He didn't die in the normal way. No, the winds of heaven itself carried him up to God. And at the very end of our Old Testament, as we currently have it, is the book of Malachi. And in those last verses, this promise comes. I will send you, I meaning God, God will send you the great prophet Elijah before the day that the Lord comes. comes. And so they are there looking for the day that the Lord will come when they ask if he is Elijah. And then, of course, there's the prophet. The prophet comes back all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like Moses from among your own people. These three promises of God reign in their hearts and minds when they come to John the Baptist that day. Who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you Moses? Are you the one who is going to fix all this? It seems to me that we might come to this scripture with some of the same questions. Maybe not of John the Baptist. But maybe not. We're not looking for a Messiah or Elijah or Moses as if we know what those things really mean today. But we're looking for what they symbolize. We're looking for a Christ, a political leader who might fix this whole situation we seem caught in right now. We're looking towards a better future for our country and even the world. And maybe we're not looking for Elijah, but we are looking for the day when healing and redemption will reign across the earth. The day when the Lord will come. And maybe we're not really looking for Moses, but we are looking for a clear moral voice. In the midst of all the voices we hear around us, somebody whom we can follow. And so it only seems right that as we come into the new year, as we look towards our next year, 2018, for us each to ask the question of ourselves, what is it that I am looking for? What am I hoping for the new year, for the future? What is it I come to the Bible, come to worship for? What am I seeking for this new year? This was the hope. It was hope that brought those people to John the Baptist that day. And they were really asking, are you Michael Jordan? Well, not really, but are you the reincarnation of the greatness that we have known in the past? Are you the reincarnation of Moses or Elijah? Or are you the Messiah? And John the Baptist squarely looks them in the eyes and disappoints them wholeheartedly. He says, I am not. I am not the one you are looking for. Whether that be a political leader or a moral guide or promises of healing or redemption. No, he leaves those people wanting more. And maybe that's just because they had unreasonable expectations of John that day on the other side of the Jordan. But it does seem to me that it's great that John doesn't claim to be something that he's not. Because in our climate, in the hope that we are looking for, we have people claiming to be what they are not all the time, don't we? That he's honest about who he is and who he is not should bring hope for us. He says, I am not. And it would be great if we had more people, more leaders tell us that I am not everything you are hoping for. No, instead, what John says is that I am not him, but you will find the answers you are seeking for. The answer you are looking for is coming, and it's coming with Jesus. See, it was John who recognized him first and points out for us that this is the one who would come to take away the sin of the world. This is the one that would gift us with the Holy Spirit. This is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah because he is the leader we are hoping for. Jesus is Moses because he's that moral guide that we so much need. And Jesus is the one, like Elijah, who's coming to bring healing and redemption. And so what John says is that if you want those things, you need to lean into Jesus. But if he doesn't just say, I am not. He also gives us who he is. John the Baptist says, I am something. He has a specific role that he is taking on, and he takes his cue from Isaiah chapter 40. He says, I am the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. He says, I'm not this, but there is one who is coming, who is all that and more. My job is to testify, to witness, to point you in the right direction, to say this is the one. You see, when we gain fame like John did, when we are blessed with people's curiosity about the way we live, it's really easy to point to ourselves, isn't it? To say, yes, I did that. Yes, it's me. Because it feels good to say it was me. Or it is me. I'm the one you are looking for. But that's not what John does. John instead humbly says, no, it's not me. Don't come here looking for that stuff. Instead, he's right over here. And so just like the first question, what are you looking for in your new year? I think the second question this scripture asks of us is who we will be in relationship to Jesus in the next year. Specifically, maybe more specifically, how will my life, how will your life point others to Jesus? Who are you called to be in 2018 so that the world may look at Jesus and say those same words, that this is the Son of God? And if you're looking for a place to start, maybe we should start where John the Baptist starts. He says, I am not worthy to untie his sandals. However, if we are trying to untie Jesus' sandals, then we find ourselves on our knees in worship. Amen.